That's Earth, Wind, and Fire, one of my all-time favorite groups. Hey, y'all. Hey, it's that time. The Q Lynn Green Soul Savage Show. Welcome to the show. We have right now online, we have the Q Lynn Green and another one of my special, special hosts, Winter Harris. Hey, ladies, how are you this evening?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I'm glad you picked out Earth, Wind, and Fire. And you have we have a few more songs coming up later, but we're going to get right into the show. And I know you normally start off with what, the Savvy News or Savvy Talk?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank Winter for coming on. If y'all don't know, she has a show that comes on Monday night on Studio W Buzz. It's a great show. She always has, like, great topics about relationships on there.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
It is great, informative, and also hilarious. Oh, Winter, you are something else. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
No problem. I'm excited to be here. I love Q Lynn, so very much looking forward to tonight's show.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, Q Lynn.
We have so much to talk about. First off, going into the update, I got a lot of feedback from people from the show, from the Jessica Childress show and the video we did. Thank y'all for watching that whole video with Planet Venus and Mako. They are crazy. It's like I was saying earlier that I usually try to keep notes. Like when I do the show, you know, we do the show every Friday, so I try to keep notes. But for some reason, when I get on with them, like my notes are out the door. I didn't have any notes. If y'all seen the video, I'm just going off the top of my head, so. And somebody said in an email they sent me, they said that I love how y'all were worried about the censorship and then y'all just started cussing like throughout the whole show. And we did, like, and Mako was telling me, I said like 2 to 3 cuss words at the end. He said, I said MF-er, and he said, I said something else. I forgot. But I was like, no, I didn't. And then when I looked back, I watched the playback of the video when I was editing, I was like, oh yeah, I did cuss. I was like, oh yeah.
Hey, see, Winter, I have to monitor Q Lynn. She's a rebel. She's a rebel in the room.
I'm the heathen of the show. Like, y'all talk about, like Adrian has, like, lupus awareness, and she does, like, great stuff for the community, and I'm always talking about why back ladies at the grocery store. Like, that's what my show is.
I can't.
Foolishness.
It's one of the things I appreciate about Q Lynn. Q Lynn and I have known each other since when? Like, 2015?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. Yeah.
But it's one of the things I love the most. When I started out on Periscope, Q Lynn would say whatever. She would say like the most outlandish stuff whatsoever, but she's the uncensored version of me. Like, I always give the censored version and Q Lynn gives the uncensored version. She's hilarious.
Hey, that's the truth.
I don't know why. And then Adrian, she actually Facebooked through last week's show, and last week's show was crazy winner. Like, that show, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to redress some of these emails. Somebody else said that when I was talking about, you know, that one show I said that, like, if I give a gift, I want a thank you note. Like, I mean, it's just with gifts. Like, if I give you a gift, I need a thank you note. And people were like, and there was one lady that just emailed me, I think 2 weeks ago, and she said that she asked me, was my love language gift giving? And that's one of my gift giving. And it's not with, like, everybody. It's just, like, when I give a gift, like, I'm kind of sentimental, so I kind of put a thought behind it. So, like, I kind of make it specific to that person, so I just don't be giving out, like, random gifts. So if I give you a gift, like if I gave you a graduation gift, I want a thank you note. Like, you know, that took a lot of time for me to care about that.
That's funny. That's funny. And you know, and the same, and then Winter, you cannot escape this one, because see, I'm going to tell y'all right now, if you're listening right now, if you ever invite Winter to a wedding, make sure that you marry for more than 1 year, because she's expecting a refund. Okay.
And
I sure am. I'm with her. Listen, I'm with you, Winter. I'm with you all the way. Me and Will were talking about this the other show, and he brought up what you said about that. I'm like, I'm with you 100%. Like, yeah, and then just to think about it, it's somebody I know that I'm not going to specify who it is, because it's a lot of people from my hometown that listen in. But I'm just going to say they got married. Somebody I know got married, and they just got divorced, like, not too long ago. And they just got married, like, last September. Like, so they ain't even been married. I just gave out the date. Dang, I wasn't trying to do that. I'm just saying, they haven't been married that long, and I'm so glad I didn't give them a gift.
Right.
Because if I only gave a gift, I was in that. I'm like, y'all just, and then the dude got beady eyes. And so I'm like, y'all already know my theory on people I don't trust people with beady eyes. And so he had beady eyes. I'm like, you know what? He looks untrustworthy. I don't think this is going to last. Just off that thought alone, I was like, he got beady eyes. I don't know if this is going to work. And then come to find out, they ain't together no more. So.
Hey, Winter.
I kind of got theory with it, just a little bit.
Yes. Hey, Winter, that's refund time, right? Winter.
It sure is. I get irritated. What is the point? And me spending travel money, gift money, clothes money, because you know you can't wear something raggedy to a wedding. So I spent clothing, I spent travel, I spent gifts, I wasted time that I cannot get back. If I go sit at a wedding for 4 to 5 hours, I cannot get that time back. So not only can you not refund me my time, the very least you could do is refund me my money. So no, if you can't be married to them longer than a year, don't invite me. And then I mean it.
Right, exactly.
I don't want an invitation.
I'm with you. Yeah. Don't even expect I need the gift back. If you got the receipt still, I think it's good for a while. I think some of those where you register, I think you can get the gift back. But if you ain't been married longer than a year, yeah, you can send that gift right back to me.
You two are hilarious.
And the package, all of that.
You're funny.
But yeah, I'm just being real. I'm just being honest. But thank you to the lady that sent me an email saying that was all. That's all I was trying to convey. I don't do that with everybody. Like, I don't expect thank you from strangers. It's just like certain things I expect you to, like, kind of be grateful for it. Cause I don't think about people that often. I told y'all my flaws. I'm selfish when it comes to stuff like that. So when I actually take time, Will said that I'm supposed to be giving from the heart. Me giving from the heart was actually spending time going to the store, getting the paper to put inside the gift bag, getting the gift bag, actually taking time, putting money out of my checking account to get the gift. That was coming from the heart, me doing that. So all that, the packaging and all that stuff to give it to you, that was a part of giving from my heart. I'm just saying. I just need some appreciation for it. That's all I need, just a thank you note. That's it.
I just want to know, are you two related? Because you sound a whole lot alike.
Probably. I'm just being honest. That's it.
And I'm okay with it. QN's my sister
honest.
From another mister. I don't want anything to do with a short-term wedding. I'll pay.
Man,
I'd rather be at a spa. You know how much I could be at a spa for 4 hours. With all the money you spend on travel and clothing and gifts, that's a really great A spa with a nice hotel. I'd rather do that if you're going to be married for less than a year.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
And then the petty, when we did last week's show, y'all didn't tune in to last week's show, y'all missed a great show. From beginning to the top of the show to the end of the show, it was hilarious, it was fun. Me and Will, our topic last week was, we did a part two of petty, pet peeves, because last week, I think some weeks prior to, we had did like a part one, and I was talking about like stuff that like gets on my nerves, like people that talk in third person and people that chew with their mouth open, and you know, people, that just gets on my nerves. I don't like stuff like that. And then people actually wrote in and said some of their emails. Somebody said that one of their pet peeves was people that don't wave when you let them in traffic. People that that put more than 10 items in the 10 items or less. You know that Al, when you go to certain stores, it has a 10 items or less, and people put like 77 items there. That gets on my, shout out to, what's his name? I think his name is Kyle. Thank you for that. That irritates me so much when I go to the store. It's usually when I go to like Homeland or something. I try not to go to Walmart because Walmart is where I feel like the conservatives and the Republicans, all the Trump supporters shop at Walmart. So I try to be anti-Walmart as much as possible because it's annoying going there. And then they'll have like 80, like this is a reason why it's called 10 items or less. Like this is why the machines never work. There's only like two working because y'all put in like 79 items in through there. Like take that down the other aisle. Like, and then they take so long. I'm with you, Kyle. Thank you for that, because that irritates me. I forgot to talk about stuff in the grocery store and traffic. I didn't even get to that. What else? It says, oh, this is one I just saw. Somebody, what is his name? He's from the UK. He says, he just wrote an email asking, is it okay for non-black people to advocate for Black Lives Matter? Absolutely. You can, anybody non-black, we need everybody involved. It's not just a black movement. It's everybody. It's a lot of non-black people in the Black Lives Matter. That's what a lot of people don't realize. That I think they're referring to the show when we were talking about what does your wokeness mean when we talked about that show. That was a great show. And I remember we were on when I was on a group talk radio with y'all with Pierre, and he was talking about that. And I'm like, it's a lot of, I don't know where the movement is going, but I don't think it's supposed to be centered around just like black people. It's just supposed to be for black people. I feel like it's for everybody because that's the key to, I feel like that's the key to everything, for everybody getting involved. Like everybody should be a part of every movement. Men should be a part of the women's movement in terms of equal pay, and everybody should be a part of the LGBTQ community, striving for the things that oppress them, and then the Muslims and Latino community, immigrants, everybody should be striving and should be advocating for every oppressed people. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I don't think he wants me to put his name out there. I think he wrote it anonymously, but thank you to the person that wrote that. But yeah, everybody can be a part of the Black Lives Matter. It's not just for black people, it's for everybody. And if anybody has an issue with it, they have a problem. So, what else? Oh yeah, people love last week's show. Like I was saying, winner Will, we were doing appreciation to Ronald Isley because it was his birthday sometime last week, and I played a song, and then as we came back from the break, I was telling Will, I was like, Ronald Isley was like a big, you know, figure, like he's like black world music royalty, like he's important. And then I went on this tangent, I was like, and then he got like this resurgence in the 90s, and he had this alter ego called Mr. Biggs, and then Will comes out of nowhere saying, yeah, and then where was she at on, I said something about Kelly Price video, video.
I said Kelly Clarkson.
He starts talking about Kelly Clarkson, and I'm like, what? It took me a minute to realize what he was talking about. He was like, where did she place at American Idol? And I was like, what? It took me a minute to figure out what he was talking about, and then he was like, oh, she wasn't, I'm like, she didn't have a song with Ronald Isley. I'm like, no, where did you get that from? He was like, and then he was trying to convince me that it was a black group that did a song with Kelly Clarkson. And I died for like 5 minutes. I almost fell out this chair. Cause he was legit like, no, like I know it was the Dills. I know it was the Shy Lights that did a song with, like, no, that never happened, Will.
Okay.
I like Will had a shot of cognac or something. Cause
no,
he was,
I probably needed one. No, absolutely not. I don't know, for some reason, I thought it was Kelly Clarkson. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's too funny.
It's just a visual of actually thinking of a, a 70s group that sung with Kelly Clarkson. I was like, what? Like, yes, the Whispers. They did a duet with Kelly. And just the visual of that is hilarious. I was dying for like 5 minutes. That was so funny.
Oh, I'm glad.
Not listening to me at all.
I'm glad you got a laugh out of my faux pas.
I'm gonna listen to it tonight again because that whole show was funny. I was dying. That whole part, I listened to it back, and I don't know how you got Kelly Clarkson mixed up with Kelly Price because I said it clear as day. I don't know how you was drinking. Just be honest, Will.
No.
Up in the cup.
You know,
turn the mic off.
If I were, I wouldn't tell.
Had a little sip.
If I were, I wouldn't tell you.
I will go to the next so we can get to the next segment. Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, that was hilarious. We're going to get to the – well, Winter, I have this thing on the show. I try to separate savvy news, and then so I was like, what can I come up with to, like, report on bad news that I see in the popular topics that people talk about on the Internet? So I came up with this segment called Raggedy People News. And so, you know, if you can get the gist of what that is, Raggedy People News. I know on Group Talk Radio when I was on the other week on there, I brought up this Walmart. I don't know if y'all saw this video to the listeners of this lady in Walmart. Like I said, the place where these deplorable people shop at. It was a video that went viral of this lady. Like she was like blocking this woman to get to the medicine out. She was just trying to get some Tums or something, and she was, from what I saw in the video, like she was just went on this racist rant and was like just calling this lady like all kind of racial slurs. And then it was a black woman that was like calling her, it, like, why are you doing that to that lady? And I commend her for doing that because, you know, if it was me, you know, she would have, you know, called me what she called her in that video. She would have got rock bottom like right there in that aisle just from what I saw in the video. Like, she would have got rock bottom, like Tums would have been flying everywhere if it was me. She's very respectable. Shout out to that black woman that was, you know, defending that Mexican lady, because it would have been a whole different story. I already told y'all that story of, by the way, they would want me to tell that story again, but who has the time for that? Like, when I cussed out some Trump supporter some months ago, because they were being racist. They were being racist in the parking lot, and he was basically trying to make me move my cart. Okay, to the listeners, where I live at, it's a Starbucks nearby to where my apartments are, and I usually just walk there because it's not that far away. It's a nice neighborhood, and it's like a little strip mall there. It's like a family clinic. It's a pretty nice clinic, and then it's like some little subsidy little places in between there and some eat-in spots, and there's a Starbucks there, so I just walk there. And I think I left something in my car, and I was going back to my car. I think I left my charger in my car. And I already ordered my drink, and so I was going back to get my charger. And I'm walking, about to go into a Starbucks, and this dude walks in front of me, some old, he was old. Like, he looked to be, like, he had on a veteran war cap and Trump supporter sticker on top of it. And he was like, you can't park your car here. And I was like, and I just looked around because I was like, I know he ain't talking to me. And then I was like, proceeding to leave, and then he kept stepping in front of me. He was like, you can't park your car here. And I was like, who are you talking to? And then he was like, did you hear what I said? Move your car. And I'm like, did you hear what I said? I'm like, who are you? And I'm like, and get the F out of my face. That's what I said. I wish I could cuss on here because I cussed him smooth out. I was like, get the F out of my face. And then he was like, you can't park your car here and I'll call the police on you. And I'm like, dude, you don't own none of these lots here. This is an open private parking lot. And first off, it was like two other like ladies that like parked there because Starbucks was full, and so it's like a little parking spot here. It's like open space that anybody can park there. And it was like two other women that were going over to Starbucks. They were white women, just to mention that. And they were like walking in front of me, and then he steps in front of me and was like coming with all that. And I was like, man, if you don't get the F out of my face. And that's what I told him. And then I was looking outside, and then there was a guy that's a regular there. I was saying hi to him, and I'm like, yo, there's some racist dude out there, like, talking crazy. And he was like, what'd he say? And then I told him what he said, and then we looked outside, and he kept walking. It was a Honda Civic, like, in between where my car was, and it was like an open space to where our cars were, and he kept walking and pacing where my car was. And we were looking like, what is he doing? And then I didn't know what he was going to do. And so I walked back to the car, and I was like, let me see if I got to go pull something out of my car on this dude, because I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't know if he was trying to slash my tires or what was going to go on. And so the guy, he was pretty tall. It was a white guy that I was talking to. And so he's like, no, I'm going to walk out there with you. And so he was like 6'5". He was like real tall, and he's pretty cool. And so we walked out there. And then it was two guys inside the Honda Civic next to my car, and I was like, what was he doing, like pacing back and forth? And they were like, he was like, that's that old dude that takes these drug classes, at this family clinic, because I said on the show that Oklahoma just passed a law during the election that people that instead of for them going to jail for drugs, they go to like drug rehabilitation centers and drug courts instead of going to jail for it, and that's supposed to go into effect, I think, some months from now. But yeah, until they build those facilities, they have to go to like family clinics close like at 5 o'clock, and this is like after 7, and so they hold classes from like 9 to like 7 to 9 or something like that. But anyway, they told me that information, and I was telling them, like, this dude was like acting like super racist, and they were like, that dude ain't gonna call nothing. He's like, he's on probation for drugs, you know, he was on meth. And, I think heroin, that guy, and he has to go there he's on probation, and he has to go there for court. And then, at that moment, I didn't even get mad. I'm like, oh, this is some bum that he didn't even live in it. This is a nice neighborhood. And he felt as though I didn't belong there because I was black. He don't know who, mind you, I don't know who this guy was. And he just walked up on me and did that because I was black. He didn't know that I actually lived, like, not too far from there. And he feels so comfortable. This is his first time ever being in on this side of town, and he feels superior to me just because he takes classes here. I'm like, and then I remember watching Real Time with Bill Maher, and they said that a lot of Trump supporters that those states that Trump won, they have a high, most of the white poor class men there are on drugs. That's a real statistic. Like a lot of his Trump supporters are drug addicts, like opiate abusers, heroin addicts, meth addicts, and he fit all the description. And so I was like, oh. I was like, yeah. And then I was sitting there laughing with the guys. I was like, yeah, he thought this was 1950s. I'm like, oh, not my grandma. I will knock your ass out, you old boy. He pissed. I was out. As soon as I heard that, the backstory to that, that's when I was like, oh, this is one of these bums that feel entitled. Like, he probably ain't owned nothing his entire life, but he felt entitled to me. And so he walks back while talking to these two guys. He walks back and was like, he's trying to explain to me what he was saying. I'm like, I just told you to get the F out of my face and get your dope shooting, meth shooting tail out of my face. That's what I said. I cussed. I said a whole bunch of stuff to him. I insulted him. I don't care nothing about that, because you can't be nice to those people. You got to talk to them. That's the only way that's the only thing they respond to is stuff like that. So I'm not even going to waste my intellect and my good word usage on this deplorable human being. Like, I'm not even going to waste, like, get the F out of my face and get your dope shooting ass out of my face, period. That's what I said. I said some other words, but I can't say it on here.
That's
but
right.
I cussed his ass out, and all he did was stare at me. Because he couldn't do nothing, because he was a coward. Uh-huh. I was scared of that man. He wasn't going to do nothing. So,
hey, yeah, Winter.
That's the story to all the listeners.
Winter Q-Lin is going to make me spend some more money. I'm going to have to invest into a bleep button. I don't have a bleep button on my radio station.
I gave you TV cuss words. We didn't have this discussion. Well, I gave you TV cuss words. I didn't even drop all the bombs.
Thank you.
The big words that I used on that dude.
Thank you so much.
Cannot.
Oh, but you know what?
We're going to move on, but that was a story to all the listeners out there. I know y'all wanted to hear it. Y'all didn't get to hear it on the show I did with Tierre. But yeah, that's the story. I just cussed the Trump supporter out, and I felt good about it. I don't regret none of that, because I'm not a coward. You're not going to sit there and try to come at me with that racist stuff.
Mm-hmm,
and then some of y'all, until you experience something like that, you will never know. But at that point, like, you, like, what am I supposed to say to this dude that don't live in this area? Like, you're so bold. Yes, I'm out, so I'm gonna move my car right now. So, like, get the F out of here. I ain't doing none of that. Get out of here with all that.
One thing.
Other raggedy people, I'm just gonna say that. Did you hear anything about Jason Whitlock Williams? Jason Whitlock that
yes.
was out on Fox Sports.
Yes, yes, yes. Before that, I want to hear from Winter, though. I don't know what's going back. You know, I'm a native Virginian, and I growing up in the South, you know, it was pretty racist back then, but after the riots, it calmed down quite a bit. But if you notice, since Trump has taken over in the White House, not doing a job at all. He's not doing anything. But anyway, you know how these people have become, for some reason, they've gotten some gravitas. They've gotten emboldened now, and they're coming out, and it's more. Remember the story last week, when this guy killed two white guys for defending these two young girls. I think they were on the bus or were they on the train?
William?
Yes, yes. It was a guy. These young ladies were on a train. I believe it. I'm not sure whether it was a bus or a train, but one young lady was wearing a hijab. And she had another black lady with her. And this white guy came up to them and started telling them, hey, go back to wherever you're from. We don't want you here. You have no business in this country, you know, get out of here. Right. And so three white guys, as a matter of fact, stood up and said, you can't be doing that to these girls. You can't insult them like that. He stabbed all three of them and two of them died.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I have not heard of that at all. That's
yep.
horrible.
It is horrible. And you know, I don't know what it is. Winter, maybe you can comment on this too. How brazen some people can get. Remember you were saying on your show last Monday how these ninjas are coming out of the woodwork, you know, and how they are doing things and they're inboxing you with things. And I think I heard or saw something about you even had to file some police reports.
How many police reports?
I said you had to file some. I didn't say how many.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was like, I thought you were referring to somebody else. But yes, with me, that, you know what? It's a realistic problem. I posted on my page, like, social media stalking is real. And people think, oh, well, you know, it can't be that bad or, you know, it's not that big of an issue. But I personally have had to file on a wackadoodle is what I call them. And honestly, it was on a woman who was borderline obsessed. I guess, you know, I don't even understand that whole dynamic still. But she, I blocked her initially because I didn't pay that much attention to it. But then she, you know, went to follow me on all of my other social media platforms. She found out where I worked. So she was calling my job. And then I guess when I wouldn't respond to her, she started to send threatening messages. And so at that point, you know, you can't just let that go. You have to report that because that's a serious threat. And, you know, the officer actually did call, and she actually had the audacity to answer the phone. Like, who's that dumb? Who answers the phone? And I'm certain that she probably had, you know, some mental instability, but still, it's like, what are you thinking? Like, what's wrong with people? But I'm telling you, I get these weirdos that are seriously insane, and they think that they know you. Like, they feel like they know you, and that's kind of the, you know, the downside to social media. The pro to it is that you can reach so many people, but the con is that you know, are more accessible, and kind of the veil is removed, and people feel like they have access to you, whereas they haven't had access to you if it wasn't without, you know, technology. Technology has changed and grown so much, so you're able to communicate with people from all over the world as if they live next door. Well, that can be distorted in a person who is crazy. That mentality just can semi take them over the edge, and unfortunately there's a danger that comes with it. And I have kids, so I don't play those games. If I feel, you know, uncomfortable or threatened in a situation, I take notes, and if, you know, things need to be reported to the authorities, I will do so. I had to actually do that to a friend, I can't really call him a friend, an acquaintance. But he was a friend back in the day. We went to college together, and he went whack job on me earlier this week. Like, literally was pissed that I took down a really disrespectful, a disrespectful comment or I consider it a dissertation that he posted on my page, but it was extremely, disrespectful. And so I took it down, and that infuriated him, and he took to, like, posting it everywhere and was very belligerent, and then proceeded to say that he would choke me slowly. So, yeah, he had to get reported. That's crazy. You don't make those type of threats. And, you know, I just, it makes you take a step back, like, goodness, do I really want this life, or am I good? Can I pass on it? But I love what I do, and my heart goes out to celebrities, because if this is bad for me and I'm not even a celebrity, I can't even imagine what celebrities go through on a daily basis.
It's amazing.
Right. It's like, it's always random people. It's like, I don't understand, like, you have to have some kind of, like, mental, like, very deeply disturbed person to, like, go to those lengths. I think people like that, you know, I think once you, like, find their IP address, like, a lot of that stuff stops. Because there's a lot of people that said, like, crazy stuff to me on Twitter. Like, and most of the time it's, like, delusional fans that come to me because I'm a music critic, and so I write about music all the time. And so I might give my opinion. I used to give my opinion a lot when I first started on Twitter, and they would just, like, write the most craziest stuff to me. And I said something about, I think it was, like, Nicki Minaj, or I think it was Nicki Minaj. I was saying, I stated my opinion on her music, and it wasn't anything, like, ridiculous, but they came at me, like, said I need to, like, stick, it was, like, real graphic, and they were, like, telling me I need to, like, stick a knife in me and die slow. It was, like, real graphic, but they told me to stick a knife in me and die slow. I was, like, whoa! I was, like, how did that garner that kind of response? I was, like, this is strange, and this is weird people on the internet. And then it's, like, I remember one time I posted something about one of my nephews, and I immediately took the picture down because it was a bunch of creeps on there. I'm like, okay, I'm never posting any pictures without the parents' consent, because it's a bunch of, like crazy people out there, and they, like, favorited the video, and I just get, like, real, like, you know, I'm paranoid about that stuff. So, yeah, I take care of, like, 4 kids, like, every day, and I don't post anything about them because it's just a bunch of crazy people on the internet, and I don't have time for all that because I take that stuff seriously, people threatening me on the internet.
Mm-hmm. I think we are underestimating how many crazy people are out here, really, if you really, really think about it. And then you have crazy people having babies. So guess what they're producing? You know? So that's my opinion about that. But I think that, especially ladies, you have to be very, very careful. And living out here in Southern California, I hear stories about this all the time, about celebrities being stalked, Winter and Q-Lynn. They're being stalked. You know, somebody, and something else we talked about, Winter, on your show, and that is some of these people tell you that God told you that you're supposed to be his wife, or somebody tell you that you're supposed to be his wife.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh,
I've
my
had,
God.
Like, two guys tell me that. I'm like, well, y'all got to get that GPS rerouted, because I didn't get that message. You got to send that back. I don't know. You got to reroute that GPS, because I don't remember God telling me that this morning when I woke up.
I want to know what Jesus they talking to.
Right, exactly.
Like, your wires is jacked, honey. I don't know what Jesus you talking to, but we can't be communicating with the same one. Because if that's the case,
right,
Jesus talking to a whole bunch of ninjas, because there's a whole bunch of y'all to feel like he done told y'all, I'm your wife. Jesus ain't setting that up. Y'all setting that up. But I'm good on it. He can speak to me, too.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it sound kind of creepy, though? You know, God.
It's very creepy. It's very creepy. I don't even take that as a compliment. I'm like, first off, that's game anyway. That's like, and that's, they don't run that on people. They feel like they can get away with that. I'm like, if I was dumb and vulnerable, or not even just dumb, it's just vulnerable or with low confidence, that would probably work. But get out of here with that. Like, I don't even trust half of y'all when y'all be like, you know, last week we were talking about people that give you all these Christian salutations when you first meet them. I don't trust people that do that. Like, when you first meet, like, I'm blessed and highly favored in the Lord. Like, I don't trust you. Like, why you calling on God that much? I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody need God that much.
That's right. That's right. And I don't want anybody just throwing scriptures at me either. Anybody can.
Yeah, anybody that just be randomly throwing that, I'm like, yeah, you got something going on. Cause anybody that called Jesus that much, got some backstory to them.
Boy, and I tell you, some of the meanest people in the world are in church. Give you ladies a quick story. We have a couple of people in my church, and most people, it's too late now, they know who I'm talking about. We have one of the nosiest people who gets in everybody's business. I'm going to say it, she's a trustee in my church. And I'm saying, wow, why is she a trustee? She won't support anything, and everything coming out is negative. And I know, remember, we were in the choir stand one time, and I'm singing tenor, and she's singing alto or whatever she's singing, and she's turning around trying to tell me how to sing my song. And I said, why don't you come up and sing it for me? She said, well, it ain't me. Are you singing to God? I said, well, God didn't turn around. You did. You know, so, I mean, that's my point. Think about this. People have, they have, and Winter and Q-Lane, please answer this. People feel they have the right to insinuate themselves in your business. You know, try to
always.
Change. Yeah. And I'm
always.
Sure, I know you Q-Lane, people trying to tell you what to do, how to do it, but they don't pay your rent. Winter, I know they try to tell
right,
you, say,
exactly.
You should have done this, you should have done that. And I say, you should shut up.
Exactly.
Well, you know what?
You're not contributing to any bills.
People are always an expert at business that ain't theirs. You know, it's like, you know, how are you an expert on my life, but you ain't even an expert on your own? So that's
right.
Where I kind of take issue with people jumping off into things they have no business about jumping off into. It gets on my last cotton picking nerves. I'm not even joking. And sometimes
they try to tell you how to run your business.
Yes, like run my business, run my life. Like I am 30, almost 36 years old. When I ask you for an opinion, I will let you, you know, I will inform you of when that's necessary. Until then, mind your own. I can't stand it.
Exactly.
It drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. And the same lady I was telling you about at my church, she had the nerve to tell me one day, well, if you don't start coming to church, God's going to take that radio station from you. I said, what? I just walked away at that point because I didn't want to cuss in church. Well, you know,
wasn't it that lady you said is that the one that was wanting you to take to the Golden Corral? Is that the one?
she told me one day I was an MC for one of our programs at church, you know, and I guess I was pretty sharp, you know. I walked in. Hey, when I leave the house, I have to be sharp, right? And shower, too. But anyway, yeah, people who don't shower, that's a pet peeve of mine. But anyway, getting back to that, she told me, she said, oh, Mr. Brown, you're looking good. Maybe I'll let you take me out. I said, huh, I walked right. I had to walk out.
See, that's why I said she had that much malice in you. She was trying to get with. That's why I asked you that question. That's why I asked you, was she trying to get your number? And she wanted you to take her to Golden Corral and let her eat all she could eat. I was like, you should have just took her there. So it wouldn't have been no bad. Just, you know, black people love going to Golden Corral after church. Just take her after church. Go Corral so she can eat what she wants, you know?
Nope.
That's what I was saying.
Nope.
I told you I could sense that stuff.
No.
I just observed this from me listening to that. I was like, yeah, she wanted Will. I knew that.
No, it's not going to happen.
Because she ain't got that much malice for no reason.
Well, guess what? She's going to have to keep it, but I will not take her out because I don't want to lead her on. I don't. No, it's not going to happen. I don't want those situations like Winter, you know, with somebody stalking. No, if you take it to Golden Corral, then what's next? And Golden Corral isn't that, it's not expensive at all, but it's the whole idea. No, absolutely not.
I think finish off Raggedy People News, and then we can go to break after we talk about Jason Whitlock. He actually said something else. Somebody told me one of my friends told me to mention it the last show, but I forgot to. He had a little tiff with Charlamagne Tha God. If you watch Breakfast Club, he's one of the radio hosts on there. It's a pretty popular syndicated radio show. It comes on early in the morning. I love listening to it. It's a great show. And Jason, I think Charlamagne was commented on LeVar Ball. What do you call that guy that's like so like aggressively like roots for his son? What do you call those like?
Oh, someone who lives vicariously through their children. You know,
yeah, that guy. He was on some. I don't even know the name of the show. I just knew the show because Charlamagne was talking about it, and I watched a little clip of it. And LeVar Ball was on the show, and it was a white. I don't know the woman's name, but they had her on the other side of the of when they were interviewing him. They were on the other side, and she would had the microphone and was like giving little takes. And she was basically throwing digs at LeVar, and he was getting irritated with her and told her to like, you know, I think he made some kind of indirect comment. I don't know specifically what he said, but it wasn't that much. And she basically was trying to like be a victim in a situation saying that she felt threatened or something by him. And he didn't even threaten her like that. And what Charlamagne was saying that what that woman did was dangerous for black men, and I agree with his point that they did the same thing, that kind of thing got Emmett Till killed, and I agreed 100% what he said. It was a great analogy, and this guy, this washing machine built man named Jason Whitlock, some supposed journalist on that show, was defending the woman, was like, he was saying that that Charlamagne was, that he was basically calling Charlamagne out and was talking trash on him on the show, and then Charlamagne, because Charlamagne gave him donkey of the day for doing that, because he was wrong for doing that, like, for that lady to be victimizing him and then for him to, like, co-sign that was wrong, like, that, what he was saying wasn't anything, he didn't threaten that lady in no way, and for him to make that, he was basically mad about the Emmett Till, comparison, but it was, the analysis was good because it made a point that is dangerous for black men. There's a history in this country for that. And he basically got mad about it. And I actually remember this writer because he, and Charlamagne mentioned it in the Donkey of the Day, that he always, like, talks bad about black people when he's on TV. And he does. He wrote an article, I remember reading it, he was, making fun of Serena Williams' physique and saying, calling her mannish and calling her masculine and saying that she gave up a thin body like her other tennis counterparts to be masculine and that she was cheating and all that stuff. Like basically like down talking her. And I remember then, like, I'm like, whoever wrote this is like a piece of crap. You basically like, trying to down this woman because she's physically great. She's won almost every Grand Slam she's been in. Like, she's amazing. Like, I say it all the time, that Michael Jordan is the Serena Williams of basketball. Like, she's amazing, like, if you watch it. But yeah, he was, like, down-talking her. So when I saw this guy, I'm like, oh, that's the guy that was talking trash to Serena Williams. So yeah, he has a history of talking bad on, and then this recent one, he was talking about LeBron James. LeBron James had his house broken into recently, and someone, well, not broken into, but they got over, I believe, his gated house.
It was vandalized.
Spray painted the N-word on there. Yeah. They spray painted the N-word on his house. And he gave and y'all know I'm not a big LeBron James fan, but when he made his, when he had his little press conference and was talking about it, I agree with everything he said and was saying that he realizes that it doesn't matter how much money he has, that, you know, racism still exists, and he basically, I'm trying to read up the article, his one from, it says Whitlock's point of view says James shouldn't complain about racism in America because he's rich, and therefore does not truly understand the struggle, and this is a quote from him on the show. He says, I get when I was a young person, people called me a bad name. This is Jason Whitlock talking on the show, and he says, the N-word, whatever, it hurts my feelings, but did it stop me from rising? Hell no. Did it stop LeBron James and LeBron's comment about no matter how rich you are, no matter how famous you are, it's tough being black in America? That is a lie. It's not tough being Oprah Winfrey. It's not tough being LeBron James. It's not tough being Jason Whitlock. That whole statement, I stopped watching it at that point because I'm like, oh, this guy is in the sucking place for real. If y'all watched the Get Out movie, you get the reference. He is absolutely in a sucking place. This guy, he reminds me, I see these kind of people all the time, and I just sit there and laugh at them, because when they're in those positions, just like what Stacey Dash did on Fox News, and she got fired, they basically try to please Caucasian people around them. So they say anything to downplay black people in front of Caucasian people. That's what they do. And that's clearly what this guy does. He does it every time, and I'm glad for the brother, what's his name, Chris Broussard, how you say his name? He checked him on that when he said mm-hmm. that, and he kept over-talking him. I watched the clip. He kept over-talking him when he was trying to make a point, and he's saying, no, this is my show, and you're not going to filibuster. I'm like, you kept interrupting him every 5 minutes. What kind of journalist does that? Like, you're supposed to let the other person give their opinion. Why would you, like, and he just has this, like, this annoying arrogance for no reason. I'm like, and it kind of reminds me of Stephen A. Smith. He does the same thing. I don't like watching First Take on ESPN because he's like so indignant about what he feels he knows, and he just feels like he's just like, it just has this arrogance about him I don't like. And this guy here, Jason Whitlock, he's in Raggedy People News because first of all, I didn't even know about the show until Charlamagne Tha God was talking about it. So when Charlamagne talked about it, that was my first time hearing of this guy. So yeah, that guy, he got checked, and I hope their show fails. I don't even know the name of the show, and I don't care. I think it's called The Herd, and he looks like a herd. He looks like a full of herd. He built like a Samsung washing machine. I'm with Charlamagne. Like, until you get your health right, you can't say nothing to me. Like, you don't love yourself, and that's what I feel. He built like an old bag of laundry. Like, that dude. Then he has the nerve. That's what made me mad. Like, how do you have the nerve to talk about Serena Williams and all these people that you built the way you built?
Like, that's right. That's exactly right.
Horribly.
Well, Q Lynn, he's only 300 pounds. You know that, right?
He's 300.
I'm just joking. I've got a comment to make here. Also, you're right about his article with LeBron James, and I don't care how much money you are, or how much money you have, there racism exists here. Now, some of us ignore it, some of us, we take it to heart, and some of us just keep on walking, you know. I keep my head up because I know that I'm as good as anybody walking, as far as I'm concerned. That's right. But I've got a comment to make, and Winter, I have a question for you. You mentioned something about LeVar Ball. And a lot of people don't know who LeVar Ball is. Well, LeVar Ball, allegedly, he used to play basketball, and he made a ridiculous statement.
He said allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Allegedly. I picked that word for a reason, because he was talking about that in his day, he could take Michael Jordan, right? But see, what happened, somebody did a fact check on him and found a video of him. And he looked clumsy. I mean, he was real clumsy, and there's no way in the world that he could be in the same league. Matter of fact, he needed to play junior high school ball. Now, his son just graduated from UCLA. I believe he graduated, and he's up for the NBA draft. And his name is Lonzo Ball, right? So, Winter, this one is for you. So the dad is like I said, living vicariously through his son, and he has two other sons. Good Lord. So we have some years with this clown. So anyway, he started marking a shoe for his son. And I don't know what you heard about this. I'm not Q Lamb, but, he started marking a tennis shoe and a sandal for his son. The sandals go for 200 and some odd dollars a pair, and the tennis shoes go for $495. Now, Winter, you have two boys and they're still growing. How many pairs are you going to buy for your sons? Is Winter there?
Can you hear me?
No, I didn't hear you. How many pair would you buy for your sons? Did you hear what I said?
I said I'm going to buy them a job first.
That's right. How stupid.
It's like Miss Charlene says, you ain't got no job, you ain't got no taste. You ain't got no job, you don't need to be asking for anything that's ridiculous. That's insane. Absolutely not. When they get a job, they can buy whatever they want. Until then, you know, we are reasonable.
That's right. And think about this. I'd like for you to elaborate on it a little bit, because what kind of message, if you go out and you buy this for your children, I don't care how much money you have, okay? And then the problem is you have a lot of people who really can't afford it, but the kids want it so bad, and they go out and get that. But what kind of message are you sending to those children?
You're sending the message that it's okay to, well, first of all, to just overindulge your kids is not good anyway. You have to teach your kids balance. And we wonder why our youth today is so entitled, selfish and self-centered. You have to teach them that some things are to be worked for and to be earned. And just because I have money, that's my money, not your money. It's my money. So you are basically teaching them that some things they get without having to work for. Now, granted, kids need to be cared for, they'd be loved. But I think our society has gone overboard in overindulging our children. Like, and I live in Loudoun County. Loudoun County, if you Google it, it is the wealthiest county in America. People love to fight me on this. People will say, no, you know, they'll name places like, you know, Bel Air or down in Florida, they have a lot of affluent areas as well. But Loudoun County is the wealthiest county in America. The median household income, I believe, is like over $120,000, $130,000. That's most people's income and then some. So we see a lot of spoiled behavior in this area as a result. These kids think that money grows on trees. I had a friend who had bought her daughter a BMW for her sweet 16. She went through 3 in 1 year. And every time she would wreck it, they would buy her a new one.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
At some point, when is she held accountable and held responsible? And why can't she drive a Kia Sophia? Because it sounds to me that she doesn't appreciate the BMW. But she'll grow up with that same bratty behavior and pass that on to her child. And so I am totally against overindulgence because it doesn't teach our kids balance. It doesn't teach our kids a good work ethic. It doesn't teach them contentment. They always think they have to have the latest and greatest because that's what we have cultivated in them. Sometimes it's not going to kill you to wear shoes that are 2 years back. But because, you know, we have overindulged our kids, they can't even be content with a pair of shoes that are 2 years back because they want what everybody else has. And so, you know, we don't play those games with our kids. Our kids know better. They can earn it through good grades, or they can earn it by, you know, doing extra chores, because I even feel like to pay your kids for chores is a little bit on team too much, because at some point you have to teach them that chores are something that comes with a part of being a family. When you get to be an adult, nobody's going to pay you to clean your house. That's your responsibility. So we don't pay on chores. We used to do that and we stopped because we realized that was counterproductive. But if they volunteer to do extra chores, they are compensated for that. And that's teaching them how to earn and how to work hard. You want something, earn it. So I disagree with the overindulgence. We have just gotten really out of hand, and I don't ever want to hear the excuse that I want to give my kids more than what I had. Get over it. You are doing the utmost. You are on the extreme of giving your kids more than you had, because we didn't get that much growing up. For many of us, our lifestyles are very modest, and we are overdoing it when it comes to giving our kids more than what we had.
Q-Man?
You could go into break. I forgot that quick. I started talking about later on in the show, after we do 7, we're going to talk about the top 10 best bands. I just forgot that quick. It was Black Music Month, and picked an AWB song. So we're going to skip that because I don't want to hear y'all. I know I'm going to get the email, and I don't want to go to it. So I ain't go. If you want to win, you skip to the next song. We go to break right here and go into Savvy News after we come back.
All right. Send me one. I kind of like that song you picked up by AWB. That's a great song.
Yeah, but I don't want them comments in them emails, because I know they're coming if I say
it. All right. Everyone, you listen to the Soul Savvy Show with Q-Lynn Green and special guest host Winter Harris. And yours truly. All right, come on back. This is Stay.
Hey, you're welcome to the Soul Savviness Show every Friday.
That's my jam right there. I love that song.
Hey, great song, great song. Hey, speaking of groups, did you, Q-Land, I know you heard it. I'm not sure you're busy. I'm not sure you heard it or not. But I had a fantastic interview with this lovely lady last Wednesday night and Sunday before last. I had this interview with this lady by the name of Martha High. That name may not ring out to you because, she was a background singer for James Brown for 32 years. Oh my God.
Man, I've actually seen her, some of her performance on YouTube. Man, she got, woo! Yep. And also, Joe, she got the interview. I gotta get her on the show because she, I remember, when they was doing it to death, the JB song. Got to take it high. Yeah, she got that crazy range. She just goes all the way up there. I gotta get her on the show.
That's right. And she has a brand new album out too. I don't have it in front of me, but she has a brand new album, but we can get her on her show. She's friends. We're friends now. And just a wonderful, wonderful interview. As a matter of fact, she's
a legend.
Oh, she is a legend. 32 years.
See, and we're gonna talk about that later on in the show. I mean, we're celebrating Black Music Month. All this month in June. And so we gonna, next week, I think I'm gonna do a segment on there with this guy bringing on, Eric B, man. He's crazy. He knows all kind of music. He's supposed to be a guest on next week. And we gonna talk about background singers. That's gonna be one of the topics next week is, talking about background singers. And they're like so, like, unappreciated. Like, some of the best songs have, like, the best harmonies on there.
Oh, absolutely.
You gotta get credit. But we gonna talk about that, but yeah, shout out to you for getting two interviews. You interviewed her twice, so shout out to you for that. Cause I listened to the one on Sunday night, but I forgot, I didn't know you, interviewed her again on Wednesday.
Yes, well I'll contact her and see when she wants to come on your show. I'm sure she will. What a great, and you know what the thing about it is, she just stopped, touring, with Maceo just last year. And the stories that she has
that's
to tell.
That's my guy right there, Maceo Parker. Y'all yep. See, that's some music head stuff. I gotta get y'all into that. Maceo Parker is one of the illest horn, woo! I can't even get into it. I can't give y'all the nerd talk this week. I'm gonna keep it light.
Well, I tell you what.
If I go into Maceo Parker, Maceo Parker, he didn't work with Prince. Oh my God, on 3120. Listen, I'm going into it already. That dude. I'm gonna move on because I'm just here to talk about how great he is the whole time. So we're gonna get to
absolutely.
We're gonna get to Savvy News. I only have like two topics. We're gonna try to breeze through this real quick so we can get in the Black Music Month segment and then talk about the topic of tonight is, we're gonna talk about dating and relationships because Winter talks about that all the time. And my opinion is a little different from hers, so I can't wait to get into that later on, but we're gonna get into the Savvy News. I watched the show, I haven't watched it consistently, but it's been on the headlines pretty recently, the T.I. and Tiny Show, Family Hustle. And it's the last episode is basically, they had a season that came on, I think it was like maybe 8 to 10 episodes, and it's supposed to have been the final season of the show because they're getting a divorce. If people don't know about that, it's been in the news for a while now, and the show, I think the show premiered on Monday night, the last show, and they talk about, like, why they're breaking up. Basically, it was like the finale and airing out everything that went on. And basically, T.I. Likes, he's community penis. I don't know how else to say it. He's been community penis since they've been married. I was actually shocked when they did get married because I've been hearing about him, like, cheating on her for a long time. This dude's got, like, 27 kids, you know, since they've been together. So I wasn't surprised by it. I was surprised it took so long. But the show, they had, like, a little dinner, and she was saying that he had cheated on her with somebody that was working for her. And he was mad, and she was saying, he was bringing up, basically, she was hanging out with Floyd Mayweather, and if I didn't know, I think a year ago or 2 years ago, him and Floyd had got into it over her. One time it was in Atlanta, and then I think the other time was in Vegas or something, but they got into it twice over her. And so that's what they were talking, they didn't mention his name on the show, but I knew what he was talking about. He talked about Mayweather, and after this last time when she filed for divorce, she was taking pictures with him and dancing up on him. And so, yeah, that, and he was mad about that. But you ain't mad about the multiple women you got, but you mad about her taking pictures with a dude.
The big payback. Hey, that's the big payback.
Yeah, and then he was... Say it again, Leonard.
I'm sorry. I said, you know what's interesting about this whole T.I. and Tiny situation is I don't even know what goes through some women's minds. I feel like, why do you expect them to change if that's what you accepted all along? I do not believe that she did not know that he was cheating. I think in a lot of cases, these arrangements are business arrangements. But the reality is that a lot of these women catch feelings along the way. And so when, you know, the feelings start to take precedence, if the guys are like, wait a minute, you knew what the deal was. You knew what you got into. Why are you trying to change now? To some women, they can endure the cheating as long as they can maintain their place in the marriage. Because that their place in the marriage provides them some sort of support and stability. But the reality is that Tiny does not need T.I., so everyone can safely ascertain that she really loves this man. Now, I feel like she needs to go lay on somebody's couch and figure out why she's willing to accept this type of behavior and not understand that she deserves somebody who is loyal and faithful. That's a whole other discussion. But as a person who has been cheated on and cheated on with someone who worked for me, I think that should be a deal breaker. It should have been a deal breaker, but I understand Tiny's position because I thought if I ever got cheated on, I would be the first person to leave. It's a little bit different when you're actually in the situation and you have kids involved, like Tiny does. She has kids involved. That complicates things because at the end of the day, you think, do you really want to tear a whole family apart? What I had to grow to realize was that the children were going to be impacted whether I stayed or whether I left. Is that the image that you want to communicate to your kids? Because the reality is that kids are pretty savvy, and they're very perceptive. And I did not want to raise another generation of men who felt like this was okay, and their woman just had to deal with it. That was the reality that my ex had. His dad was, you know, also a cheater, and his mom stayed, and they're still married to this day. So he thought I would just suck it up and stay. But I did not want to communicate to my son, so I made a decision to leave. I think it will single-handedly go down as the best decision I've ever made in my life. Because I not only stood up for myself and I stood up for my own self-worth and self-esteem, but I also changed the perception in my son's eyes that they will now know that if they choose to go in that direction, every woman doesn't hang in there and every woman doesn't fuck it up. So I really hope that she gets the help that she needs. to see her own self-worth, but to realize that she can make it without him. She didn't need him in the first place. And
right,
she's
exactly.
in a lot better position than a lot of women. Yes. So, yeah, move on. Get rid of him. He's a cocky son of a gun, and I was really disappointed with his behavior, if that's a good way to say it. I was really disappointed with his behavior. And,
yeah, when he when he said that line, he said they were talking about it, the infidelity, and then when she said that she had made a little comment and said that Mayweather treated her like a man is supposed to treat a woman, and then his follow-up to that was, I didn't spit millions on you, what the f*** is you saying? And that right there, me looking at this, I get it 100% how it happened. She was, at that time when they got together, like late 90s, Escape was getting ready to break up. And so in between that time, they were already having rips or whatever in their relationship, and so she met T.I., and then they got together, and then from little stuff that I heard, like on documentaries like Unsung, he was basically the cause of her getting out of Escape, because they were still supposed to be making money together, but he pretty much deaded their whole situation when they got together. And that's pretty much why Escape, and it's not convenient, and it's not a coincidence that since they've been separated and filed for divorce, that Escape is supposed to be performing at the Essence Festival this year, next month, in New Orleans. There's no coincidence for that, because she feels as though she can finally do what she's, and she expressed that she didn't have that free will. He basically wanted her to have his kids and be at home and not do anything, not be on the road and not be all that. And that should have been a clear sign to her that he don't want you, when he don't want you on the road like that, he don't want you to see all the chicks he got out on the road. That's pretty much what the code word was. And whether or not she verbalized that to him or not, she probably was passive on it. She knew all along, like, this stuff ain't new. Like, I'm not even in their marriage, and I've been, like, this stuff been out about him. He's been cheating on her, like, way before they got married, and he's been cheating on her. That's no secret at all. So it was just a matter of time. I just surprised they lasted this long. But for him to cop out and say, because he's one of those people that I don't like, because he feels like because he read a whole thesaurus and dictionary while he was in prison, in and out of prison, that some way he can trick somebody with words. Like when he said that marriage was a distraction, he was trying to say that he wasn't saying that Tiny wasn't a distraction, it was the marriage. Just say that you don't want to be married and be done with it. Like, why you gotta do all this, the double talk and all this, I would respect him more if he would just came out and said, you know what, I don't want to be married, it's not for me, because I've heard a lot of people say that, because people that travel, comedians, anybody in the entertainment industry, I get why some of them want to stay single and why they don't want to get married, because whether or not they want to sleep around is irrelevant. It's just that they don't want to have to check in and deal with that, and I get that perspective. Because I've heard a lot of comedians, I've heard a lot of different entertainers say that, and they're comfortable with being single. I appreciate that, because that's honesty in saying that I'm not built for marriage, and I'm not that respectful, and I'm too selfish to be in a relationship, and that's respectful to me. But for him to try to justify what he's doing, and that's exactly what he's doing, for cheating on her, with saying that that's not for me, that's a cop-out. And I'll just say that, for him to do that just showed how much he, like, disregards anything about her, and that he didn't really, if you really look at their relationship, it's not based on, I don't see love in that. Like, even though they spent so many years in that, like, he doesn't support any of the things. When I watched the show, she had a lot of different endeavors she was doing. She wants to bring, they just had a baby last year, and she was wanting to take the baby on the road with her while they're doing the Escape reunion tour, and he was like, absolutely not, like, off jump. Like, he's like, he basically told her, you either stay home and watch these kids, or you go out on the road, and you can't do both. I'm like, what world is he in, the word that somebody can't bring their kids with them to work? Like, literally, Candy is doing the same exact thing, and she's married, and she just had a baby as well. So how is it that that's two totally different situations when they're doing the same thing? It's just stuff like that. I feel as though she's just now realizing that he hasn't had her back the whole time they've been married. And I feel like she's just now realizing that. And maybe she stayed in it for the kids for that long, but I feel like you said when you were talking about the lady being a factor, the one that she hired, him cheating on her with that, I feel like that was the straw. I don't understand why she wasn't upset about the random women, but the fact that she knew this girl personally, I think that was the deciding factor. And it was doomed to fail to me because they didn't have anything built on that foundation. I felt it was shaky from the beginning because he is to blame, but she accepted a lot of stuff. And he mentioned that whenever they got together that she had to choose between that. And if he brought you an ultimatum like that, why would you even, I didn't understand why she would even marry him if he held her back so much while she was still marrying him. But yeah, I'm glad that she's finally in that space now to where she's doing it. So I hope she's doing self-analyzations on herself and before she goes into another relationship and don't get another guy like him. But yeah, he's trash.
Right. I've got a couple of great points. Ladies, you're making great, great points. A couple of things, and you said this also, Winter. No, Q-Lane, you said something about, he said, well, I don't understand where she's coming from when I spent millions on you. I really would like for you to address this point. A lot of people equate material things with love. You know, I bought you this, I bought you that. And so what happens is a lot of ladies and men, they'll fall into that trap. Well, they will accept abuse behind that. Let's say you have a couple, and one is financially savvy. I mean, just what powerful financially. They have the money. And for some reason, they think that they can buy your love, or because they are spending this amount of money on you, that you're supposed to be devoted to them, and you're supposed to take anything they dish out, right? Even including abuse. And Winter, you said something also. If you had stayed in a cheating relationship, what are you teaching your sons? That it's okay to cheat? And so I think that the ladies and the guys out here really need to hear that carefully, because kids right now, they're vulnerable. There's a lot of gray matter. If they haven't matured, then there's gray matter there. And so what you feed into their brain, it's going to manifest itself some way. So I'd like for you to elaborate on that, both of you.
I think most parents are unaware how much what is unspoken impacts their kids. I'm almost 150% positive that my ex's parents never thought that their relationship early on, and I'm not saying that the cheating continued throughout their 30-year marriage, but early on it was a major factor. And I'm sure that they thought after all that time, you know, they had come to some resolve and there were no more issues. That they didn't see how that would kind of reinvent itself in their son. But the reality is that kids are extremely perceptive and they hear a lot of what we do, not necessarily what we say. So I believe he was probably encouraged not to cheat, but he also was shown an example. People like to say, well, do as I say. No, kids do as we do. We lead by action. We don't lead by words. If our words and our actions are contradictory, kids will pick that up all day, every day. So I'm almost certain that they never thought that he would, you know, react what they went through. And, you know, speaking with my ex-mother-in-law, she was very remorseful because she thought she had taught him not to. But she did say that they probably conveyed the wrong message. They didn't necessarily explain to him a lot of the turmoil that went on behind closed doors. Sometimes we shield our kids from the truth and the truth that they need to see. So they see the impact. We can't always shield our kids from impact because that impact teaches them lessons and it teaches them how not to repeat, negative behavior. I feel like we need to be more proactive about teaching our kids how to actively avoid situations and not get ourselves in situations that are really, you know, kind of, we put ourselves in avoidable situations. If we're not given real tools on how to avoid and, you know, get out of things that can get us into trouble, then we're going to fall every time. But we certainly need to be real. I talk a lot on my show about being real with people. People don't tell the truth. People are not transparent. But it is in that transparency that people are able to be delivered and set free. And we don't ever tell the truth. The church is really guilty of covering things up. It is my frustration with the church as a whole. And we can't ever help anyone if we're not willing to be honest.
That's exactly right.
I agree 100%.
And Q-Lynn, I want you to jump here in a second. Matter of fact, someone I know, good friend of mine, was just telling me a story not too long ago, and I was shocked. There was a preacher that we know. He has his own church now, and is married, you know, children, has his own church. And so everyone thought that this guy was upstanding preacher, man of God, right? I mean, this is what they say. You know, I have problems calling anybody a man of God because, I don't know, unless God tells me or I see something here, I don't know. So I have a real, real problem with it because even our preachers sometimes, you have no idea. The devil comes in sheep clothing sometime, right? And the devil goes to church and sometimes he's in the pulpit and sometimes he's the head pastor. But anyway, this particular guy, the lady was telling me that she's single, but he's married and she just thought he was a really nice guy. And he started, texting her, you know, friendly chats and things like that. How are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while since I moved away. So she thought, well, hey, that was okay. You know, I know the guy. He's cool, stuff like that. But then he went on to say, look, I'm planning on leaving my wife and, you know, I'm going to be in Los Angeles and, I've got a hotel room. Why don't you come by? I said, whoa. And see, so you don't even know a lot of times in our preachers, the problem is, and you find out right now, winter, I don't know whether it's happening back there on the East Coast or not, but the churches out here are half empty or half full, however you want to look at it. And I look at it and, the crowds are diminishing every week. I'm saying, what's going on here? Because people are waking up. You know, these preachers, like they said, wake up everybody, Harold Melvin and Blue Notes, and the Blue Notes, preachers are stop preaching that 1, 2, 3 stuff and expect people to be fed and you come back home. So even though these preachers, oh, he's the pastor. Well, so what? So what? He's a human being.
Yeah, the whole thing that you're saying with pastors, I agree 100%, because it's just about the intention. If you just summarize it, because we run out of time, and I'm trying to get to the Black Music Month segment. I'll just say about the man of God situation. Most of the time, when you just observe who they are, like when they're giving the message, you can understand the intent and understand where they're coming from. Because I feel like a lot of times that's wasted in terms of certain. Things that happen in church is it's all about narcissism, the way it's on stage, just the idea of what the pastor is supposed to bring. They're supposed to be bringing the truth. And so when you're coming up there and you're trying to give your interpretation of that, it shouldn't be within what you feel. And that's what a lot of it is. And you're right, a lot of churches are, I don't see as many as people in church anymore, because it's all propaganda. It's just too much hoopla about it. It's supposed to be about being of service to the children of God. It's supposed to be about that. And I feel like it's too much stuff, spent on, like, what is the choir singing? What is all this? And what is the pastor preaching about? And I feel like it's too much hoopla and it's too much traditionalism that, you know, I feel like they talk about the same thing every show. So mm-hmm. to me, I mean, every service they talk about the same thing, and it's all about where you're at and where you're growing at. And I feel like you should be in a place to where you're where you should have be enough knowledgeable enough to seek this information yourself. And it's a lot of people that look too many. The reason why people get disappointed in leaders is because they spend too much time trying to put all of the energy into that person. You shouldn't be putting that much energy into anybody. You should be seeking that information for yourself. And that's where a lot of people get mixed up, and that they hold these people to high standards. And then when they end up failing them, that's when, they get disappointed. And I'm like, if you wouldn't have put so much energy into them, you wouldn't be disappointed. And so to me, it's pretty simple, but yeah, I think the last thing I was going to talk about, I was going to mention this, I forgot to mention it in the update, but we were talking about Monique last week and that whole situation. You asked me about what was Oprah Winfrey has been with. I just got an update some days ago, and they said that her problem was with Oprah was that she felt like she exploited her family she invited them to the show to talk about, it was child molestation that happened to Monique, and so she had brought, I think her brother was the one that molested her or something like that, and they brought on, I think, some other relatives. I think I remember watching that episode when it was on, but yeah, that was where her issue was with Oprah was that. That's what I heard. It might be something else that she didn't mention, but that was one of the ones I think someone said she had an issue with. But, yeah, if you want to, you can play that. Just play a minute. We're going to talk about now we get into the last 30 minutes of the show, and we're going to talk about black music. It's Black Music Month. And in this segment, we're going to do something, like I said before, we're going to do something special every show. And this show, we're talking about groups. The top best groups, bands, and giving appreciation to the best bands and the best groups to me. And Will, if he has it queued up, the Dale Stay in My Corner, I just feel like I love this song. This is songs like my grandfather and them used to play, like, he used to have this on 8-track. I remember this. He used to have, like, Al Green. He still had, like, 8-tracks in the 90s. That was my first introduction into, that was my first iPad to the young folks was the 8-track. I knew how to work an 8-track at 4. So, well, you can cue that up right now and play the Dale Stay in My Corner.
Stay, darling. Stay in my corner. You make me, oh, so proud. Stay, darling.
Stay in my corner.
To the world. And I will never, never
Wow, wow, wow. Q-Lynn, you did it that time. Oh my goodness, Dale, stay in my corner. You know, when that song came out, I don't think either one of you were born. That song came out.
I probably wasn't.
I think it came out in 19.
I know I wasn't. This was like.
I know you weren't.
Where did this come out? I'm about to Google it right now.
1968.
My daddy was probably born.
No,
my daddy was born in 66 or 67.
Yep. 1968. Winter, you remember that group, the Dells?
I believe she just hit me up. She said she had to go.
Oh, okay.
So shout out to her for coming on. You gotta check out her show every Monday night on Studio W Buzz. It comes on 8:30 her time, right?
No, it comes on at 9:30 on the East Coast. 8:30 your time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but 6:30.
Thanks for coming on. I was gonna ask a relationship question because I was really she had me really thinking about something. One of her posts she had, I was gonna talk about that, but yeah, she had to go. Shout out to her. Y'all can find it. You can also follow her at Winter Harris on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I think she has it backwards. I think it's Harris Winter on Twitter.
Okay. Yes, I believe so. But yeah. Man, but what a great, great song that was. Oh, by the way, Kelly Clarkson. Let's get back. I gotta share this with you. She did do she did a duet with John Legend.
That is not a black group, Will. That is one person.
All right, well, I'm getting close.
That is one black man. You said a group. We were talking about Isley Brothers, and you said she had a song with a black group.
Well, I know.
John Legend is one person.
Well, look, okay, that's, okay, all right, Q-Lynn, that's as close as I can get, all right?
Oh, my head. I'm over here drinking champagne, so the mix of this alcohol and this is oh, my God. Oh, Jesus
Christ. No, alcohol. I haven't had any.
No, I'm saying me. I'm the one drinking. I'm like, don't get me started on this.
Oh, my God. But no, the Dells. Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a group they were. I'm telling you. There are a lot of great black groups out there. Shucks. The Shylights, the Intruders, the Temptations, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. I mean, we can go on and on. As a matter of fact,
and we can talk about that now. We can get into it. It's Black Music Month. We're talking about black groups, bands, and that's absolutely one of my top bands is The Temptations. That was actually, you know what's crazy? When I was like, I think The Rise of the Phoenix, I think that song came out in 98, and I was like 11 or something like that. I forgot how old I was when that album came out. But that song we played earlier today, that was, I remember when they had that biopic that I remember like specifically when it was on TV, it was on NBC. They showed the biopic and the four-part movie of the Temptations. Like, I thought that was like, I thought they were new, like, back then. Like, it didn't, because I used to hear their music so much, and when I watched the video, I thought they were, like, the hot group. It didn't dawn on me that movie was made. I mean, that story was told, like, 30-plus years ago. And that they're like older now. Like it didn't dawn on me then because I thought that song we just played, I thought they were a new group. Because I remember they would play that song on the radio so much. And I just remember specifically like when that song came out, it was like hot. It was on the like charts for weeks.
It was.
It was a big song when it came out. And the Temptations, I love every Temptations song. I can quote that movie like from the beginning to the end, like, My favorite line from the Temptation movie was ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. That's my favorite line ever in that movie. Cause Otis was like, he didn't have no lead parts in the group, but he was in charge of everybody. I'm like, he had so much to say in this movie, I mean, so much to say in that group, and he didn't have no lead parts, but he controlled everything in terms of the group showing up on time and all that stuff. And he still make money off that group. Like, he didn't have about like 20 members since,
Wow, he's still making money?
Yeah, they still like touring stuff. Like, he's always making money. Like, every time somebody die in that group, like, he like, all right, we getting too low. I'm like, what is going on with this dude?
We just add somebody else, right?
Trying to get a coin. Right, he added, like, ain't no more original members in the group. I think just Dennis Edwards, but I don't think he tours with them like that. But, yeah, almost everybody that was original, like, they're not, either they passed on or they're not in the group, but he always got somebody new in that group. I'm like, this dude here.
What,
yeah.
Right. What, hey, Q-Lan, check this out, Q-Lan. Yeah. But, you know, Dennis Edwards wasn't part of the original. Matter of fact, it was David Ruffin. And then David Ruffin left and Dennis Edwards.
No, I mean, he came, yeah, in the movie he came afterwards, but I'm saying, yeah, it was, the original was, I forgot the one guy name in the movie, but I think the best one was with David Ruffin, Otis Williams, Melvin Franklin, Eddie Kendricks, and Paul Williams. Paul Williams was like, from what I saw in the movie and the clips I seen, he was like the best dancer out of all them. Like they, and that's what's so cool about them 70s groups, like all them, they remind me of that, that little bit that Steve Harvey had about groups, and that they had that one mic and they would like dance and then everybody would still come back to the mic, and that's what like the groups like the deal. And I think it's so cool when I hear like the deal, that record, like it sounds like all of them are singing in one. See, I'm giving y'all all music nerd talk. It's like real analog equipment. Like it wasn't no, like everything was live, and so they probably had to do all that stuff in one take. And they all shared a microphone. It was just cool, like, hearing stuff like that. But, yeah, I was going to get into my top 10 favorite bands. And, well, I guess I'll just do a top 5. Well, what's your top 5? You could go first. What's your top 5? Well, what's your top 5? Will.
Julian?
Yeah,
yes,
I'm
sorry. Okay. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We're getting ready for the Knicks show coming. Brax is back. And some of the cast has, showed up here for that too. So that's why I'm a little bit out of breath here. But no, the Temptations was my all time favorite group. Bar none. I liked the Temptations and, Back East. Well, there were two, most of my friends, either you like the Temptations, they were your favorite, or the Four Tops. I like the Four Tops, but I love the Temptations.
And yeah, what's your other four? What's your other four favorite groups or bands?
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Earth, Wind, and Fire. One of my all time favorites there. The Whispers. As a matter of fact, I have a Whisper song coming up, after, let's see. One of our next songs coming up is The Whispers, Just Get Better with Time. And I also know that you wanted to hear something else as well, so we've got that. But I like The Whispers, Temptations, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh my God, there's so many great groups back then. They had the Dramatics. That's a great group, back then too. A lot of people don't know the names that we're throwing out here right now. But there were some fantastic groups. Now someone made a point earlier. A good friend of mine called me up. And she said that she was helping someone clean out, a storage unit because the mom had passed away, right? And she says, hey, Will, she said, and the girl gave her a whole box of vinyls. So she said, and the girl said, well, look, why don't you take these and see if you can sell them to somebody? So she said it took her about 2.3 seconds to say, hey, let me call William, you know, and see if it is something that he wants. And I know there are some vinyls. And she said, I know you love the Temptations. So we've got about 4 or 5 old, are they in good shape? Great. You know, I'm just going to probably buy them as collector's items, you see. And she was telling me about some other Motown groups, some Motown greatest hits and all this kind of stuff. So I can't wait. So I'm going to meet with her Monday. And I'm going to get that collection. Whatever she has, I'm going to take a look at it.
Right.
Because I remember when I left the East Coast coming out here on the West, I had a tremendous, album collection, vinyl albums. And I couldn't carry all this stuff with me, right? Couldn't take it on the plane. I didn't want to ship anything. So I just gave it, I just gave these albums away, to my brother along with some other great stuff. But anyway, those are some of my griefs. And if I think about it a little bit more, I can tell you, I'll let you know, but there are some, I like After Seven. There's a lot of groups on here. Oh, I love After Seven.
You just stole like three of mine. Cause that's my top favorite is After Seven. Not in no order. After Seven, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire for sure. Tower of Power. The Temptations. There's so many. I'm going crazy thinking about so many. The Temptations. Who else? It's a lot. Go from 70s to the 80s, 90s. I have a lot.
Rose Royce. That's a great group there. Oh my God. There are a ton of them. Now it's not a group, but, there were two brothers, the brothers Johnson. Now there's only two of them though, right? So I don't know whether you would categorize that as a group or not. But so many different ones. And I tell you, who is that you did a show on this too, and it's escaping my mind. I don't know what's wrong with me. Bobby Brown. What was that group with Bobby Brown and, oh my God. Help me out. What group was that with
Bobby Brown? New Edition, definitely.
New Edition, absolutely. I love them. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Heat Wave. We can go on and on.
You just stole another one of mine. That's mine too. Heat Wave.
Okay, well, great. I love it. You know, my goodness. And, Atlanta Star. My goodness. There's so much there.
Now, I was going to ask you something. Because we only got a little bit left. I was going to ask you, also, we're naming the best groups, best bands, what's your least favorite band? And that doesn't, I don't have a number on it. Just tell me your least favorite band.
Boy, I'd have to think about that. Because if they, my least favorite, I sort of try to erase them out of my mind, too. You know, I kind of like this group. I like some of their songs, but I didn't like all of them. That was the Shy Lights, but they do have their, Have You Seen Her? They have some great songs, but overall, you know, I wasn't really, really thrilled behind them. Oh my God.
Right.
I don't know. That's a tough question. I wish you had asked me that so I could be better prepared for that one. But, least favorite groups. Oh my goodness. Oh, I'd have to think about that for a second. Okay.
I can name some off my head. Okay. I guess your least favorite song from a group, I guess I can say like that.
Who is that? No, give me some, because I'm trying to think what I don't like. There were a bunch of music that were doing, I think it's just silly. But a lot of the groups that really made it back there in the 50s, I mean the 60s and 70s and 80s, they were really, really top-notch groups. Like the Manhattans. I used to like the Manhattans. I don't know if you remember them or not. But the Manhattans, yeah. They used to put on a show. Now, like the Temptations, I mean, the choreography was off the chain with the Temptations. But you know, who had better choreography than the Temptations? The Manhattans. Ooh. The Manhattans. The Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
Those boys were awesome. Now, the Temptations, I think, is overall a better group. But as far as choreography is concerned, these cats were off the chart. No question about it. There's no question.
Now, I think I name a few songs from a group I don't like. I think you mentioned Atlantic Star. It's one of their songs I don't like. And one of them is, didn't they do Secret Lover?
Uh-huh.
I don't like their song.
Hmm. Well,
I just don't like the melody to it. It's I don't like the melody throughout the whole song. It's just, I don't like it.
Okay. You know, I kind of like that song. I kind of like that. I'm just looking at another one of your, or another Dale's track here. Oh, What a Night. That's a bad jam there too. Frankie Beverly and the Maze. That's what I like them.
I was going to name, listen, you keep naming all my people. I ain't even done yet. It was Frankie Beverly and the Maze. I was going to pick Ohio Players.
Yes.
Woo. It's a lot. I was going to limit it to 10, but it's like so many in my head. Mint Condition. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't even get into like how dope they are. Like, you don't know how much of a big of a Mint Condition fan I am. I love them. It's just so many groups. I think the great thing about, the 60s and 70s groups, cause they all had like a thing to it. Like 60s, it was more, doo-wop and a lot of like quartet groups, like they had that sort of gospel sound to it, and so they would like harmonize without music and stuff, and they would all like come from church. And a lot of the great harmonies from these groups, they all grew up in church, traditionally from the 60s, 70s, and 80s might have been a change because it was more of a, the musicianship coming in, so it was more like 70s and 80s without like the band period. Like you had to, everybody had to hit with the band. Like if you had a dope band, then your whole group was dope. And then 80s came and they changed it up with the technology and, you know, the Time. That's another great group of mine with Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam.
And Morris Day. I didn't like them.
Man, that's my group. And then most of the stuff Prince did, but he didn't put his name on it. But if you heard them live, you would love them. The Time, I think their lyricism was different, but I think everything else was something else. But yeah, their musicianship was always on point to me.
Yeah, well, me personally, you know, just like you said, there are a couple of songs you don't like.
Yeah, name one of the Time song you don't like. Name it.
Oh my God, Oak Tree. Yep, I don't like that. I didn't like it. I just thought.
See, you found one you didn't like.
Oh, shucks. I have to think about it because like I said, if I don't like something, I kind of put it out of my mind. But Mars Day at the Time, I did not like that group.
See, you got a group and a song right there that you don't like. See, you came up with one right on the spot right there.
Well, yep, it just came to me, right? I don't know. I just remember right. that. But I tell you, another group that I did like and still do, I don't think they're still together at all anymore. That's the Commodores. I love
Commodores.
Confunction.
You like the Commodore? I think it was maybe like, oh, Confunction. That's my band right there.
Yep. Confunction.
That's the joint.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Now we can go over
that. Song. What's the song called? They did Confunction. All night. Something. I forgot the words. Something till 2 o'clock. Was that them?
No, I know they did. They did Night Shift.
I forgot the melody.
Night Shift.
I forget the lyrics all the time.
Night Shift. They did that, which is a great, great song. When they give tribute to Marvin Gaye. Let's see. Also, we cannot leave out Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. I've been trying.
Woo, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, they dope.
Now see, that's when music was music. Now I was talking to someone about this yesterday. I mean, no, earlier today. And this lady, she even pointed it out. She said, back, you take the 60s and the 70s, and even more so than it was in the 80s, that these groups, they got together and it was all live. They got together in a recording studio. It wasn't like they would record the tracks and then, they would digitize it or anything like that. These cats were live. And I'll tell you what, and they were awesome. I mean, so to me, I mean, to be able to do that on a live set and then to go out and hear them play and they play like you do hear it on the record. Tell you somebody's like that. That's Earth, Wind, and Fire when we started the set off, right? We started the set off with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And remember, Earth, Wind, and Fire, these cats, to me, they're great. And the sign of a really, really great group is that when you go see them live, that they sound just as good as they did on the record. And I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire about 10 years ago. They sounded, and I had seen them live, you know, quite a few times, and I have quite a few of their songs here. But I think that's a sign of a fantastic group. If they can sing, and then you aren't disappointed when you go out to see them. I mean, it's awful when you have to, you go out, you spend your money on the concert, you pay money to get some, get all dressed up and everything like that, and then the group lets you down. You see? So, that's some great stuff there. I think we need to do a part two at some time here on, famous black groups. Because,
you know, we're gonna do part two, 90s groups. I was like, it's too many great, I was like, I wanna give credit to the ones before because that's when everything was so authentic was the 60s. And we can't even take it back to that, but most of them were formed with the doo-wop sound, and so I just wanted to give a little credit to them, and then also the 60s and 70s, that's when the musicianship was at a whole another level,
right?
And that whole band funk and all that stuff going in. But I wanted to play a game.
Before you do that, we've got another special guest host in studio right now, Catrice Colby Lovell Mitchell. And she comes on, Ladies Night and also Braxton's Back. I'm sure you've heard her. Catrice.
Hey, Q-Lynn.
What is it?
going on?
What's going on, my friend?
You came in 5 minutes soon as the show by the wrap up.
You know, because I'm really not supposed to be on the air until another, 15 minutes, but you know how the CEO makes you do stuff and you can't say no.
That's right.
We talking about 60s, 70s, and 80s group. What's your favorite group out of them? Or your favorite band, period?
If we're going in that era, I definitely love, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Rolls Royce. I love, you gotta go with the Supremes. I mean, you can't talk about groups and not mention the Supremes.
I didn't even mention female groups. We gotta do like a part two and talk about.
Oh, you guys are just doing male groups.
No, we're doing any group, but I love the Supremes too.
Yeah.
You can't hurry love. Baby, come see about
me. Come on now.
Talk to me now.
You got the queen.
We got a little bit of time left. We're going to play this game real quick, and I'm going to do this every show. I'm going to ask the guests to come on. I'm going to call this. I was trying to think of a name all week, but I got one. It's called What Is Wrong With You Game. Because if you don't ask it's an either-or game. So I'm pretty much judging you what you pick.
Okay.
So I'm just going to ask you what's wrong with you. If you pretty much got to pick what I pick is the game. Okay. Here we go. Okay, we're going to start this off right. Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin Gaye.
Ooh, women, hold it. Hold it. I know that Marvin Gaye is probably the most popular out here, but I'm a Teddy. I love Marvin Gaye, but I'm a Teddy Pendergrass fan now. I'm telling you right now. Oh boy, wake up everybody. Come on and talk to me. Harold, and with, as Matt going all the way back before he went solo with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
We'll get to What's Wrong With You for Teddy Pendergrass and Katrice. Okay, you talking right?
That's right.
So, she gets, she's winning right now. So all she right. got one. Okay, the what? Next one is the Whispers or OJs.
Ooh, see, that's not fair. That's not fair. Ooh. Oh, both of those. Goodness. You know what I'm going to do? I'm taking the Whispers.
Whispers?
I'm taking the Whispers.
You know,
that's
a hard one. You know what? I'm going to go with the OJs on that one.
Uh-huh.
So Catrice gets to What's Wrong With You. So it's 1-1.
Okay.
One and one.
All
okay,
right.
The next one is, this one is very specific. So, we gonna go Michael Jackson right here. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Oh boy. See, Q-Land, let me tell you why that's not fair. Because Off the Wall was one of his highest grossing albums, right? I love Thriller too.
Come on now. Y'all gotta pick.
Thriller.
Right now.
Thriller. I'm Thriller.
I'm taking Off the Wall.
I'm Thriller.
Okay, so Catrice gets a What's Wrong With You.
No, so I get a What's Wrong With
You.
Okay.
We just went up 2 points.
All right.
Okay, this is the next one. Okay. The next one is Rick James or Prince?
Prince all day.
Rick James.
Prince all day.
Rick James.
And twice on Sunday.
Rick James. I'm telling you. I tell you, some people say, what's wrong with you? Because, you know, I did a contest one time, Q-Land, and it was who's best? Who is a better, I guess, all-around performer? And I understand that Prince is a better musician, but it was between Prince and Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
And you know who I picked.
That's specifically I said Rick James, because people always put Michael Jackson. That was always the conversation. But Rick James, that was a fair comparison because they were equally on the same level musician-wise.
Musical-wise.
You picked Prince, and who picked Rick James?
I pick Prince.
I'm picking Rick James all day.
Okay, that was a trick question. You were supposed to say both. So y'all can get bonus points. So we got bonus points if you said both.
You know, Q-Lin, we're going to have to check to your judging system.
Y'all both said that. Y'all both get one each, but y'all don't get bonus points. That would have been bonus points if you would have said both.
Okay.
The next one is, this is a given. If you say, you got to say this one right. Aretha or Patty?
Ooh.
Now, in my head, Patty is my godmother in my head. But Aretha, you can't top Aretha. I'm sorry.
You know what? I've got to go with Aretha also.
Yeah.
I've got to go with Aretha.
But Patty is my godmother in my head.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so both of y'all get a what's wrong with you. You didn't get any points there because you were supposed to say Patty. You were supposed to say Patty. Well, so both of y'all get a what's wrong with you. Okay.
I kind of like this game, Q-Len.
I do too.
Yeah, this is cool stuff. Right.
This is the last one.
Okay.
I should have saved that one for last. This is the last one. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire or Ohio Players.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
We said that at the same time. The elements.
Yeah. Okay, now what's wrong with you, Q-Len?
That's a trick question too, because y'all supposed to say both.
Okay. So, Q-Len.
Okay, y'all still get one each. You still get one each.
Okay.
So I'm going to be fair and give you both one each.
All right.
Okay, let me tally up the score and see who won.
I won.
Okay, one, two, three, four. Okay, Will won.
Yeah, you know the CEO won.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's exactly right. But I love this game.
I do, too.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the show. This was a great show. Thank you, Winner, for coming on. Thank you for Catrice for coming on. This was a great show.
Always.
We have a savvy or a heathen talk. I'm going to go, even though I'm over here drinking, I'm going to go a little savvy route. That's my only savvy talk. I got my champagne bottle here. It's already gone.
Pop them bottles, baby.
And walking. Yeah, my hotel room is in walking distance, so I'm a little over the edge right now.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, Q-Len.
This is a great show. Yeah.
I love it. You know, Catrice gonna have to come back and join us sometime on your show if it's okay with you.
Catrice, are you coming back? Where are you gonna be at tomorrow, next week?
I'm definitely gonna try to come on next week. I mean, you know, I'm gonna try to make it here.
We can have some fun.
Yeah.
We have some fun.
We also have a special guest that comes on next week too. His name is Eric B. He's really knowledgeable in music, so we're gonna talk about background singers and he gonna give a week. We're going to talk about everything. I'm just going to lay out all the music nerd talk next week. And we're going to get some top shelf, fine China conversation going on. So make sure y'all check out next week. It's going to be a great show. We're going to celebrate Black Music Month June on Soul Savinus. So make sure y'all check out my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook, at Q-Len Green, my Facebook Soul Savinus page, SoulSavinus. And check out SoulSavinus.com. I got some new stuff coming up. And also have the album review of Mary J. Blige coming, I think next week too. So
All right. Be
on the lookout for that.
Yes.
So thank you for tuning in to Soul Savinus Radio.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, Q-Len, what a great show. Hey, Catrice, thanks for coming in.
No problem. And
yeah, come back next week, please.
All right, I sure will. I got a special invite from Q-Len, so you know I got to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Q-Len, it's been a fabulous show. And coming up, you know what's coming up next? Braxton's back.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be a powerful show tonight. Q-Len, so we need to tell the audience, hey, don't do a thing. Don't change a thing. Stay right where you are. For Braxton's back with, Catrice Kobe Lover Mitchell, Adrian Braxton. Okay. Braxton's back.
Hey,
I think Taisha's here. And then also part of your crew, is Esther Waller.
She's here.
Okay. Esther's here.
She's here.
Wow. Hey, Esther. We were just talking about you.
Esther.
Hey, Esther. Q-Len said hi. Okay. And then, how about coffee? Black coffee. Is she here today?
She'll be here tonight.
She won't be here tonight, but
Black
that's
all right. Black coffee.
Black coffee, honey.
These radio names. Black right. coffee.
Look, don't we sound
that's
official?
I'm doing an X-rated show.
Wait, don't we sound official, honey? Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, another great time. Thank
radio
you so
much. After dark up in here.
All right. Look, don't tune in after 9 p.m. You might get pregnant.
Right. Oh, it could happen.
All right.
It could happen. Cause, you know, I play that intentional music.
All right.
It's intended on doing something.
Hey now. That's it right
there. Hey, Q-Len, thank you so much, dear. What a wonderful show.
Love you, Q-Len.
All right. Hey, Q-Len, I've got one for you right now. The Whispers.
Thank you.
such a sensation I can't explain. Just wanna tell you how I'm feeling inside. But you got me walking on cloud number nine. Your love is rare and like the finest of wine. Said it just gets better with time. It just gets we'll be right back.